Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC, and now we'll meet one of the world's great political cartoonists, Steve Bell, who is in New York this week as part of the Penn World Voices Festival. Steve, thanks for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good
and
to be here.
Listeners, we put a slideshow of some of Steve Bell's political cartoons on our webpage from the Guardian newspaper, where he writes and draws. Check him out at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll talk about some of these images as we go along. And, Steve, let's begin relevant to the present. Our first slide of your work is your image from 1 year ago today, May 3rd, 2011, of President Obama holding a fish wrapped in newspaper. The newspaper's headline is, "Gotcha." So I guess the fish is Osama bin Laden.
Indeed, yeah. It was a kind of shocking event. I remember last year when it all took place, because it was a fait accompli. That's the first we knew, it was when it all happened, and there was the shots of them looking at it on the TV and looking surprised. And it doesn't really have a. I mean, it's a form of justice, but it's a strange form of justice. And I suppose I'm using the sort of gangster references and the fishes and the fishes.
Well, gangster reference. I mean, yeah. Obama has kind of a Mafia Don look in that cartoon. Is that what I'm supposed to think?
It's kind of that thing. The whole Chicago thing. But of course, he's where he
is. Do you draw him that way often?
Oh no. This was really just a sort of one off. I mean, I suppose Obama's more difficult for somebody from my side of the pond, because having had Bush previously, and Bush was so egregiously sort of doing things that I disagreed with all the time, that having somebody who mostly doesn't do things that I disagree with, so there's not much need to do him. So I've done him a bit. He took a while to get the hang of his caricature. He's got a very caricaturable face. I mean, he really has, as President Obama. Yeah.
We have one of your George W. Bush images in the slideshow. And you were especially brutal, I think it's fair to say, in your depictions of Bush. And you always drew him as looking like a monkey or an ape. In fact, for people who don't know your work, a book you published with a collection of your Bush cartoons was called Apes of Wrath. What was behind your George W. Bush image?
Well, that came from simply, I remember the first ape image was the day he was made president by the Supreme Court in December 2000. I tried drawing him in various ways beforehand. I didn't really know a great deal about the guy. But he was actually made president. And so I thought, well, he's the first Republican since the sort of Reagan days. And it's sort of, so I was harking back to Ronald Reagan. So I thought, oh, yeah, Ronald Reagan, Bedtime for Bonzo, the famous picture with the chimp. So I'll make Bush the chimp. So I did. But as soon as I started drawing him as a chimp, it all seemed to fit together. There was something weird about, because there's something about the way he looks. He's got very low slung ears. He's the way he talks as well. He has a kind of very slow, slightly stumble-bum delivery. The way he walks, he sort of bigs himself up and sort of swings his arms in a kind of chimp-like way. And, of course, as soon as I started doing it, I think I was drawing him with a ray gun in each paw, as it were, his feet and his hands. It sort of, something clicked, and I think, yeah, this could work. So that's simply it. I'd never actually seen the guy in the flesh, but it seemed to work.
That was the impression that you got. And you drew him in the image that we have up. He's got bare feet dressed in a suit coming off Air Force One. So there's part of the ape-like. You couldn't do that with President Obama, right? No monkey images for the first black president.
Well, no, that would be disastrous. I mean, but then Obama hasn't simian
like
in America. Well, no, he doesn't. We all look like monkeys because we're all human beings. But on the other hand, yeah, there's serious racist connotations if you do that. But also, that's not when you do a caricature, you try and work out what the personality is like. That's, you try and understand, because you can't really, unless you have some knowledge of what the character is, then it's difficult to do a caricature. So, and you sort of learn it while they're on the job and while you're on the job. So you sort of build it slowly. It took me a little while to get Obama. He's got obviously wonderful prominent features, like his long, long chin and these huge ears and stuff like that. But the thing that made me realize that ties his face, he's got these huge, very almost like painted eyebrows. That sort of ties his face together. But he's got a sort of academic kind of detached manner about him. So the chimp would be completely wrong.
Steve Bell, political cartoonist for The Guardian in New York for the Penn World Voices Festival. Any Steve Bell readers out there, fans out there, anybody who wants to ask him a question about political cartooning? He's one of the world's great political cartoonists, a rock star in the UK. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We have one of your cartoons of Prime Minister David Cameron in our set. And again, we have a set of eight of Steve's cartoons on our page. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to see that little slideshow. Slide number six, if you're keeping score at home, David Cameron. And when I first saw your depiction of Cameron, I thought he had his head up, his hair up in a bun. And then I realized, that's a condom up there. It is, right?
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. The thing about Cameron, now I've been observing him for a long time since he first erupted on the scene. He became leader in 2005. I follow British politics very, very closely. I go to all the party conferences. I draw them. I take my sketchbook and I draw them. I follow them around. I follow them around with a magnifying glass. And one thing that struck me about David Cameron, he's very young. He's much younger. He's about 20 years younger than me. His skin is very smooth. He's very sort of almost rubbery. And that's just an observation, just following the guy around, this sort of extreme youth. So it sort of started with that.
Rubbery.
Yeah, rubbery. Rubbery, smooth, extreme youth. It's that kind of connotations. And then suddenly the general election was back in 2010. The Labour government were coming to the end of their phase, and it seemed to be Cameron's time. Suddenly all around the country there were these huge billboards with this great big head of Cameron at the side, sticking up, looking rather, I suppose it's rather phallic is probably the only way to put it, but there was something so impudent about the way he looked. And people were saying, oh, God, he's been airbrushed. Now, I'd seen that guy close up. Stood very close. And I knew this guy has no hair follicles, you know. He's very smooth.
So it was the phallic thrust of the positioning of his head in those billboards.
And I just unrolled
it. You think to put a condom
absolutely.
On it?
Absolutely. And so he'd been going on about transparency. So I'd been trying to think, what can I do? I'll draw him as a jellyfish. And that worked a bit. But the trouble with drawing a jellyfish is it's a bit of a pain in the ass because it's so complicated to draw something transparent all the time. But the condom sort of brought it all together, so I just unrolled it over his head, and for me it worked.
And then you keep this up. This is not a one-off, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The good and the bad thing, I suppose it depends which way you look at it about political cartooning, is you find something, and if it works, you run with it. It doesn't. If people are always saying, oh, you can't do that old joke again, that's not the point. Because once these things take on a life of their own, it's great, because the condom, it's sort of almost I don't have to draw. You just draw a piece of rubber. It takes on a kind of energy of its own.
So one of your most enduring images in the British mind is the way you drew John Major, who that goes back a ways now. He was Margaret Thatcher's successor, for those of you who don't know, as Prime Minister, wearing his underpants outside his trousers. It was like a reverse Superman image.
That's exactly what it was, yeah. Margaret Thatcher was a incredibly divisive and very strong. She sort of changed the face of British politics, drove it to the right, the same way that Reagan did here, I suppose. And then she came to a sticky end because she introduced this terrible thing called the poll tax, which ruined, it was terribly unpopular, and the Tory party had to get rid of it, so they did. And along came this strangely nerdy guy who was, nobody knew what he looked like or anything, and he was just the contrast with Thatcher. He was such a different politician, so boring, but also slightly useless. So I had the idea, I'll do a super useless man. So instead of like Clark Kent with a all-over blue body suit with the sleek red briefs on the top, he had a charcoal grey suit with a pair of, Marks and Sparks Airtex Y-fronts is how I describe it. This is a sort of classic underpant. And it sort of worked. I don't know why.
and I gather, and I don't know if this is sick or if this is an insult to you because you wanted him to hate you or whatever because you were no fan of his. But I read that John Major actually wanted to buy or maybe did buy some of the originals.
No, Major never.
No,
there was never. Major was. He was once asked about the underpant thing, and he said, "What he said was, it's designed to destabilize me, so I ignore it."
That was it.
He never
I read about him wanting to buy originals.
Major never wanted to buy originals.
David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Steve Bell, cartoonist for The Guardian. Hello.
Hi, Steve Bell. How are you?
Hi, David. How are you?
Good, thank you. I actually worked at Marvel Comics for a little under 10 years. So, us in the comic field, we look at you, we look at the... We had two photos above the bullpen where everyone kind of like worked and the editors were outside and we were in the middle kind of, trying to come up with ideas so we'd have another week of people saying we're brilliant. And of course there was the Thomas Nast cartoon where there's a citizen coming up to Boss Tweed and says, who stole the people's money? I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, no, I know the Nast cartoon.
And the other one was, a photo of Batman saying, I know pain, and sometimes I like to show it to people just like you. And above Batman's head, we wrote political cartoonist. because we were great fans of Lewis Moore, Charles Dana Gibson's Gibson Girl. What I was just curious is how do you take what takes us 22 to 28 pages, depending in today's medium, how do you do that in 16 lines?
Ah, so well, it's. I'm not very good at doing long stories, I must admit. I mean, the two pages is like epic, and I very rarely do it. And I'm probably because I'm not very good at it. I come from comics. I started drawing children's comics. That's where I first started earning a living, and I graduated to doing political comics. But it was always kind of short term, like a half page here or maybe a page there. And now for 30 years, I've been doing four frames a day in The Guardian. Now, that mounts up. It's like, if you put it all together, it's like War and Peace, in graphic terms. But it doesn't have the same plot structure. But the great thing about cartooning is you're responding on the day to whatever's happening around you. You're never short of material. It's never short of subject matter. It's just, I suppose... it's having feeling you've got something to say. That's the important thing. Or feeling sort of it's like a way of shouting back at the radio, because I listen to the radio all the time. It's in my case, it's the BBC in the UK, and there's always stuff that I really disagree with. So I'm shouting back at the radio. I'm shouting at the TV. I've got this outlet. I can put it down on paper. I've got this wonderful way. Wonderful outlet to express my sort of inner venom, if you like.
Must be terribly cathartic.
Yeah, indeed, cathartic is the word. It's great. It's a joy to do, because the other thing about doing a cartoon every day is you sort of work away all day, and at the end of the day, you've got this cartoon. You've made something. It's actual physical thing you've done. Because I don't draw it on the screen or anything. I do a physical drawing, which I then scan in, and that's very satisfying. And I love using watercolor. I mean, color is now in the papers. It's come while I've been working. Mm. And I love colour. You can do things, you can do colour gags that you couldn't do, in black and white. We're not open to you. I love black and white too, but I love colour.
Steve Bell, political cartoonist for The Guardian. We have a set of 8 of his cartoons as a slideshow on our webpage. You can see them at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Your collection of Tony Blair cartoons was called About My Vision for a New You. Which sounds like a self-help book. Is that how you saw Tony Blair?
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was aping the kind of self-help sort of crazy books. Tony Blair was a bit like a sort of a Margaret Thatcher tribute act. He came after John Major, and yet he was so right-wing. He was obviously a...
But wait, he was the turn back to the Labour Party.
Yeah, you think
he
that,
was like
you?
Clinton in this country yeah. after Reagan and the first Bush.
That's right, yeah. But the thing, I suppose, like Clinton here, he'd taken on board so much of the Thatcher, if you will call it a revolution or whatever, but Thatcher's politics. I mean, all her trade union restrictions, all her economic prescriptions for everything. He took it on board, and he sold it as if it was a Labour Party position, which was... It's as great as long as it works, but, of course, that whole economics is now ground into the dust with 2008 and the crash and everything like that. In his the thing about Blair was he's got this crazed look in his eye. He has a sort of whirling, crazed left eye.
Like Thatcher?
Like Thatcher, yeah. And there's a strange umbilical link. And she was actually heard to say, because she, after John Major got in, she was very disappointed in him. She didn't like him at all. And she was recorded as saying about Blair, who was the opposition, you remember, she was saying, my legacy is safe in his hands.
Wow.
And it was just, this is perfectly true.
Elena in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Steve Bell. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Okay, my late husband was a Brit and a visual artist and third generation labor, when labor really was labor. And so I really just want to thank you because we bought The Guardian every day, except Sundays when it wasn't published, not in New York at any rate. And you just have given us so much pleasure. We have your cartoons cut out and on the fridge. And thank you.
Oh, what's one that you actually saved? Tell me one that you saved
okay,
and posted
all right,
under
wait,
the
I'll
magnet.
Just walk up. I'll whack my glasses on my face. Okay. I think rays are an abomination. Why? The world of Alabut. Who's Alabut? Don't you know there is no cod but Alabut? 2 months without fish is doing your head in. Fancy a blowjob? Nah, too windy. There you have my horrible imitation of
good.
The
I love it.
Thank you so
I
much for
it.
So much pleasure and so much prescience and gorgeous perception and beautiful everything.
thank you.
There you go. You got a fan in Manhattan.
Oh, that's great. A lot of fish gags, anyway. Yeah,
we're almost out of time. Are there political cartoonists or satirists who you follow from this country, or do you know Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert's work?
Yeah, I mean, see stuff. I mean, obviously, there's my fellow graphic. I mean, there's Doonesbury, mm-hmm. who I've run underneath Doonesbury
sure.
for years, for 30 years. I mean, I've always been a great admirer of Gary Trudeau's stuff. I think what he does is marvelous. There's some great cartoonists here. There's really great people. There's Cal, there's Clay Bennett, there's Sidney Wilkinson. There's a whole raft of people, and the tenor of the papers is very different here. It seems to be more, I suppose, conservative with a small c. British papers tend to be more outrageous, more rude. You get away with
and
more
some
stuff
of the there. Stuff we've been yeah, talking about, yeah. probably eye-poppingly rude for American sensibilities. Do you think, by the way, that I don't know. I read the other day that or somebody suggested to me the other day that infographics are the new political cartoons. They both make political points through visuals, and that cartoons are threatened by the rise of these data visualizations. We just have a few seconds.
Oh, is this where people are sort of drawing, the drawing appears before you on the screen? Where is that what they mean
no,
by
infographics? No, it's just a very colorful graphical representation of stats.
Oh,
Nah,
there's no substitute for a picture. You know, a two-dimensional picture, you can put a hell of a lot into it. I mean, you can refer back to art history, the great works of, the stuff in the Met. Pictures work in a very complex way, and you can play around with that. That's what I love about it. There's such a range and depth you can use, and you don't get that with an infographic. It's just not available.
Steve Bell is in New York to do an event at the Penn World Voices Festival. You can see him Saturday at 5 o'clock at Wollman Hall of the New School. That's 65 West 11th Street. Tickets are $15 or $10 for Penn members. There's also an exhibit of some of his cartoons at the Standard. That's in the East Village, 25 Cooper Square, until May 6th. And you can see the slideshow of some of Steve Bell's cartoons on our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Really like meeting you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. It's been great meeting you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.